What a beautiful song. What a very, very true message. Jesus Christ alone has the power to redeem. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. I realize that Christmas is over, but I just can't let it go that easy. I love this time of year. I love celebrating our Savior's birth and just really wanted to make sure that, you know, we spent a lot of time being challenged by the Word of God to keep Jesus as our focus this Christmas, that He is the reason for the season. We spent a lot of time saying, don't forget, it's not really about all the other stuff. It's about Jesus. It's about God who came to be a man. It's about He came to save us. But I don't want to just encourage you to make sure that during Christmas you remember what it's really about, but that as we leave Christmas, we let it impact us. It makes a difference in our life. That maybe some of you, how many of you got gifts this year for Christmas? How many of you should have got a lump of coal? Okay, just checking. Just checking to make sure you know. As long as you know, I guess that's okay. We realize that we've been given gifts, and those gifts may last a little while. You know, the kids get gifts, and depending on how long they play with them, that's about how long they last, right? Some of them don't last a few minutes, some a few hours, some a few days, some a few weeks, but sooner or later, those gifts are going to be broken. Sooner or later, some of them are going to be forgotten, but we don't want to forget the gift that God has given us. We don't want to forget what He's done, and we don't want to let it slip away from our minds and our hearts. And so I want you to just consider Christ. I want you to consider Him. And consider, after we learn all about His birth, we learn about the events surrounding that birth, I want you to notice what happened with Him and how He moved forward from the very first Christmas. So Luke chapter 2, if you're able, let's stand together to honor the Word of God this morning. And it is indeed the very Word of God that we're reading this morning. Amen. Luke chapter 2 and verse 39. Luke 2 and 39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Our Heavenly Father, please give us understanding of your word today, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to see who He is, what He did for us. Help us to understand the word today. And Lord, may it impact our lives as we look at the example of Jesus. May we follow in His steps. Lord, I pray if anyone here is unsaved, I pray today they would repent of their sin and unbelief, that they would trust in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection, with all their hearts. They would cry out to you and receive the gift of eternal life today. Lord, I pray for all who are saved, that we would leave here today just revived in our spirits, ready to go and to grow this coming year, that we might bring you glory. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Men, please be seated. We know how Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We know that He was there in that manger when the shepherds came. We know that some time passed and they had gone from the stable to a home, to a house. And when the wise men came, He was in the house. We know that He had to flee for His life into Egypt because Herod was crazy and wanted to murder Him. And until Herod and the others that sought His life had died, they stayed in Egypt, and God called Joseph out of Egypt, and they came back down into Nazareth. And so there are some things that happen in between the verses here. We've got to look back to Matthew's account to piece it all together. But when all was said and done, Jesus would go to Nazareth where He would grow up. This is where Joseph was from when he went up to Bethlehem and Jesus was born. It's where they would, when all was said and done, they would go back to, and Jesus would grow up in the city of Nazareth. And so there we get to verse 40, and we simply see that the child grew. I don't know if you've ever pondered this much, but It's an amazing thing to me. We spend a lot of time here at Calvary trying to show you clearly from the scriptures that Jesus Christ is, in fact, always was, is, and always will be God. The deity of Jesus Christ. That he himself is the Word of God, the creator of all things, and that God became a man. And it's so vital that we understand that. That little babe that was laid in that, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger, that he was 100% God. He was fully God and never ceased to be God in any way. Amen. And it's so important that we understand that. And we emphasize that so much because there are cults around us right here in Muldrow that teach that Jesus was not God, that he was something else. And they teach all kinds of heresies about that. And so we want to make sure that we understand. It's so vital we understand the deity of Jesus Christ, that he is creator God. But in our emphasizing that scriptural truth, we need to be careful that we don't miss the other side of the truth, that Jesus Christ was 100% man. Now, if you're like me, maybe you weren't very good with math, but in math, you can't really have more than 100% of anything. But Jesus doesn't care about our math. He can be 100% God and 100% man at exactly the same time. And from the moment he was conceived, that's exactly what he was. 100% God and 100% man. And through his conception, through his Mary carrying him in the womb, and to his birth and to his life and his death, that's what he always was. 100% God and 100% man. And so when I read things like verse 40, and it says of the Lord Jesus Christ, the child grew, it just is to remind me, it serves as a reminder to me that he was a human being. Now, he didn't have tainted blood through an earthly father. He did not have the sin nature coursing through his veins like you and I do, but he was still a child. He was a baby, and he had to have his mother's milk to grow. And when he got older, he had to eat real food to grow, and he grew up. Jesus crawled, and Jesus learned to walk. And Jesus ran and no doubt played. I don't know if you've contemplated these things, but it's so important for us to think about and understand. We read one little verse, but this verse, you got to understand, spans 12 years. This one verse covers 12 years of the life of Christ. Or at least 10 or so, if you count the time that he was out. But we just understand that Jesus grew up like one of us. And he did these things so that he would understand that he could be in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. See, Jesus, this is mind-boggling to me, but Jesus learned things by experience. Amen. Now, as God, he knows everything, but as man, he learned things by experience. It's not just that he knows what you're going through. He went through what you're going through. It's not like just God in heaven knows and understands all things and he knows what it's like to be tempted with sin. No, he came and went through it himself. And he did that because of his incredible love for us. And Jesus Christ gave us the example that we should follow his steps. 1 Peter 2:21. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 says, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And so Jesus, who is equal with God, and remember, if you're equal with God, you have to be God. You can't be equal with God and be anything less than God. Does everybody get that? If you're equal with God, you must be God. Because if you're anything less than God, then you wouldn't be equal with God. I know this is good philosophy today, right? It's just good common sense. It's the logic and reason that God gives us. So equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. And that's what we see in Christ. And when we see Jesus, he comes into the world, and we understand that in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, he says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." And so, listen, we're flesh and blood, but God became flesh and blood so that he could die for us. He came and he was tempted in every way that we are. It goes on there in Hebrews 2 and 16, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Jesus, he didn't become an angel to be the payment for our sin. No, he became a man so that he could be flesh and blood, so that he could die in our place. And again, Hebrews 4:15, "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And let me remind you of this one more time. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." Jesus learned. When he suffered temptation, when he suffered hurt, when he suffered in the flesh, he learned obedience. He learned experience by experience. Experientially, or however you say that. That's a real word, I'm sure. He learned by experience to obey in the face of suffering in the flesh. It goes on there in Hebrews 5:9 and says, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." And Jesus Christ became a man, and he went through all the things, the growing up that a human being goes through. This is mind-boggling to me. Maybe it's all you guys got this all figured out, but this is incredible to me. The Creator God would become a man. That he would put himself in a situation where he had to depend on Mary to feed him, else he starved. That he had to depend on Joseph to provide for the family so he would have a place to live, that he would have clothes to wear and food to eat. That he would humble himself to the point where he becomes a servant of mankind, who we are nothing but dirt. And that he would learn to crawl and learn to stand up and learn to walk, and he would go through all of those things. The growing pains, both physical and no doubt every other way that it comes to all of us. Jesus put himself through that for us. Isn't that good? So, we want to learn about how he grew. So, take your attention there to Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. It's 5 degrees outside. I'm going to turn the fan on in here, though. You're welcome. It's hot up here. I don't know how it is out there, but it's hot up here. The child grew. When we read verse 40, it says, "The child grew and waxed strong in spirit." The same exact thing is said of John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1 and verse 80. "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." And so the same thing that the Lord said about John the Baptist, it says about Jesus Christ. And so John had to grow up. Jesus had to grow up. He grew. And God calls us to look at the example of Christ and that we would grow up as well. Colossians chapter 2, if you would please. Colossians 2, verses 18 and 19. Colossians 2, verses 18 and 19. We understand that we all have to grow up physically when we're babies. We got the brand new baby back there in the back, and he has to have milk to grow and to get strong. And then as he gets older, we've got some toddlers in here. They grow up, and it's very important that they eat the right kinds of foods. We had a lot of fun last night. As a public service announcement, when you have toddlers in the home, it's good that your Christmas ornaments do not look like food. I don't know if you knew that. I didn't realize that. But Magdalene had a Christmas ornament on the tree. It looked like a waffle with blueberries on it. It was a glass ornament. So she decided to take a bite of it last night. It didn't go well. So glass out of the mouth, clean up the bleeding. 5-hour trip to the emergency room and back. X-rays are all good. She's good. It's good. But it's a good idea to make sure they didn't swallow any of the glass when they take a bite of glass. Anybody else's kids ever done anything like that? Okay, good. Yeah, okay, awesome. Yes, that's so good. She's in good company. I'm so shocked. There's like cans going up all over the place. What is wrong with you people? Was it that one? And that doesn't surprise me. Okay, all right. So glass ornaments, not good food. Our kids need the right kind of diet. They need to have the right things that they can grow. And we get that. We want to make sure that we eat the right foods and we do the right things. We want our kids to grow up and be healthy, right? We want our kids to be healthier than we are. Amen to that. But when we look at this example, we see Jesus growing up physically, but it's a picture, it's an example for us to grow up spiritually. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18 says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered, and knit together increaseth with the increase of God." See, what the Lord wants for us as a church is he wants us to increase with the increase of God. We're very concerned with what we are going to have for lunch or what's for dinner. But God's more concerned, far more concerned, with what we're going to grow up spiritually with. He wants us to increase, but he wants us to do it with the increase of God. He wants us to have spiritual growth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." In other words, if you've experienced the grace of God, if you have partaken of his grace, and he gets that picture, right? The baby wants the milk of the word, and he says, if you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. In other words, if you've trusted in Christ, if you have experienced his grace by being saved, if that's true, then you will have a desire to grow in the word of God. If you have no desire to grow in the Word of God, friend, you better examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Amen. Saved people have tasted the graciousness of God, and they want more of it. I know Jesus. He's my Savior, but I want to know him more. There's a desire to grow with the increase of God, desiring the Word of God so we can grow by the Word of God. And you know 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Grow in grace and in knowledge. If you've experienced the grace, you want more of the grace. If you know a little bit about Jesus, you want to know more about Jesus. And we need some men that have a desire to grow in the things of God today. We have a need today in this church to have some men who want to know more about Jesus than they know about football. And know more about Jesus than they know about guns. To know more about Jesus than they know about the best hunting place. Listen, friends, we've got some passions. We've got some things we care about, things that we want to know about him. We've all got that. But if that desire to know those things is greater than your desire to know Christ, there's a problem. We need some men, need to have some men who want to know the Lord. And we need to have some women in this church who have a desire to know God, who are more interested in the things in God's Word, in His book, than they are in Facebook. They're more interested in the things of God than they are the latest thing going on Pinterest. That are more interested in growing their knowledge of God than they are in growing their wardrobe. Listen, I don't know what it is, but we have a lot of passions, a lot of things that distract us that we're interested in this world. And that's all right. And God's blessed us and he gives us richly all things to enjoy. But when those things become more important to us than knowing Christ, we better check ourselves. We better step back and say, you know what? I don't need this so much. This is interfering in my knowledge of Christ and I'm not going to have it. We need some married couples who have a desire to grow with the increase of God. We need to have some singles in this church who have a desire to grow in the things of God, who are more concerned with their relationship with Christ than they are finding some other kind of relationship. We need some teens and some preteens who care more about Jesus than they do about video games, who care more about their relationship and their walk with Christ than they are about their friendships with the world, who want to grow in the Word of God and are less concerned with the latest sitcom, which is full of trash and filth and the things of the devil. We need to have a desire to grow up. Just a quick poll. Has anybody ever told you to grow up? I can't not look at you. I'm sorry. I remember growing up, trying to grow up, and people telling me to grow up. I remember thinking I was pretty mature for my age compared to other people my age and still being told to grow up. It's been a while since my wife's told me, but I'm sure she's thought it before recently, that I need to grow up. I don't know about you, but I don't like being told that I need to grow up. And just to be honest with you, by the looks on some of your faces as I've been preaching just the last little bit, some of you don't like what I'm saying right now. But you know what? When somebody told me to grow up and I didn't like it, there was a reason. I needed to grow up. My mama told me growing up that the truth hurts. And those things that hit us and sting us and make us mad and defensive, there's usually a reason for that. And usually the reason isn't that the person telling us is wrong, it's that our heart's wrong. And I'm trying to tell you today that we need to grow up. You say, listen, son, I'm 70 years old. You don't need to tell me to grow up. I'm telling you today that we all need to grow up in Christ. And if you think you've arrived, then you have no clue. You haven't even begun yet. No, we need to grow up. And we need some men and some women and some young boys and some young girls who are saved to grow up, to have a desire to grow. How do we do that? We see that it's the increase of God. We see it's the Word of God. We see it's His grace and His knowledge. And all of those things come from, they're so basic, but it's so vital. If you want to grow physically, what do? You eat right. I saw a guy the other day, they were talking about that he gets up at 4:30 every morning and eats a 6-egg omelet. And he looks like a guy that gets up at 4:30, eats a 6-egg omelet, and works out for 6 hours. That's what he looks like. Why does he do that? Why does he eat like that? Why does he work like that? Because he wants to grow. He wants to have things that I don't have. They're called muscles. And the same thing's true for us spiritually, friends. If we don't exercise ourselves to godliness, if we don't partake of the Word of God, we can't grow. Amen. So it's prayer, and it's Bible study, and it's faithfulness in the house of God. It's being here for Sunday school and actually being in Sunday school. It's being in the preaching and actually listening to the preaching. It's being here Sunday night and Wednesday night. It's praying and studying and being faithful in the things of God. It's obedience to the things of God. It's our walk with God and our witness for God. That's we learn what to do and then we do those things. You see, physically, I'll just be honest with you, I'm not everything I'd like to be. I'd like to exchange 40 pounds of fat for 40 pounds of muscle. And if I could find a place where you could just go trade that in, I would do it. You know, it doesn't work that way. And if anybody here wants to know how to be in shape, you come ask me because I have read everything there is about it. I've watched videos. I've read books. I'm telling you that I have studied dozens of diet and exercise plans. And if you want to get in shape, you come see me and I can tell you how to do it. But some of you are laughing because you look at me and you know that I'm not doing it. And that's all good and well. But the Bible backs me up because bodily exercise profiteth little. That's right. I'm going to get that t-shirt. Okay. Here's the thing. If I really, really cared, if I really cared that much about how I looked or about how strong I was, I would do something about it. And I do care a little bit. So I try to eat right a little bit. And I try to exercise a little bit because I care a little bit. But you know what I care a lot about? I care a lot about knowing Jesus and trying to be like Jesus. I care a lot about knowing Him and following the example that He set. And Jesus grew. You know what I want to do? I want to grow with the increase of God. It says the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. He waxed strong in spirit. When they came and asked Jesus what the greatest of the commandments were, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first commandment. You see, what the Lord wants us to do is to be strong in the Lord. He wants us to be strong in the Spirit. He wants us to grow up spiritually. And we get the picture of the guy who eats right and exercises and gets big and strong, or the girl who works out and eats right and she gets strong. But we have a greater desire to grow spiritually. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, if you would, please. And we'll start reading at verse 14. I want you to get this. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. Jesus waxed strong in spirit. That means he got stronger and stronger and stronger. We don't use that term waxing very often today, except when we're talking about the phases of the moon, right? The moon waxes and it wanes. It starts from a new moon where you can't see it at all, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That's the waxing of the moon. You guys with me? As we see it get a little bit more every night until it becomes a full moon. That's what we want to happen in our lives. We want to wax stronger a little bit more every day as we grow in the Spirit. Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Isn't that good stuff? I want you to go back there and look at verse 16. The way we wax strong in the Spirit starts with prayer. This is a prayer that Paul is making for the church at Ephesus, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. If you want to wax strong in the Spirit, you need to pray for that. Lord, help me to grow stronger spiritually. Lord, help me to overcome temptation. Lord, help me to grow in your grace and knowledge. We've got to ask for it. And that was the prayer of the apostle for the church. He's praying, Lord, grant them, according to your riches and glory, that they would be strengthened with might by your Spirit in the inner man. And see, again, he's not concerned with the outer man. He's not concerned with our flesh and blood. He's concerned with our heart, our mind, and our soul. He's concerned with the inner man. I want you to notice that it's not only prayer, but it's study. In verse 18, he says that you may be able to comprehend. In verse 19, he says to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. And how awesome is that? He says, I want you to know the love of Christ that's beyond knowledge. You know, with God, through the Holy Spirit, we can know things that are unknowable. Listen, the depth and the height and the width and the breadth of the love of Christ is beyond comprehension. But I'm praying that you'll know it. I'm praying that you'll comprehend it. You see, We forget sometimes how vital our mind is in our walk with Christ. How closely linked our mind is with the inner man. This is where it happens. However we think in our heart, that's what we are. That's what we do. And so if we have this desire to know Him and to wax strong in the Spirit, it's going to take all of that, our heart, our mind, and to pray and to study so that we might know Him. The question is, do you want to know Him? I think in our society today, we've got it easier than any society before us. And we probably complain about how hard it is more than any culture or any generation before us. It's an amazing thing. Things have gotten so easy. I was thinking about my grandmother, my granny Slape. She came over on a covered wagon into Oklahoma. And she wrote just a little bit. We have that, and they found it when she passed away several years ago. And she had written about when she came over here, written about her dad and written about how they lived. And it's awesome. And you know, you just wish she had written a lot more. But friends, we don't understand. I mean, we don't begin to comprehend what it was like to have to make your own clothes and grow your own food. And what it was like to get that stuff ready. Man, if they had a bad harvest this time of year right now, they would probably not make it through the winter. They couldn't run down to the grocery store. And it was so difficult for them. And yet I think they had more joy than we know about. Amen. And here today we have it so easy that we get so distracted. We use this extra time that we have so poorly. We talk about how busy we are. We're busy by choice. Our food is right there at the grocery store. It's easier to prepare now than ever before. You don't have to spend hours mending your clothes. I'm just saying, the amount of time that we have available to us, we don't spend it very wisely. And we ought to spend it in the pursuit of waxing strong in the Spirit. And then I want you to notice, the child grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. Filled with wisdom. You know, wisdom is something maybe we don't understand too well today, but there is a practical knowledge. That's what wisdom is. It's practical skill. We might call it knowledge applied. This is not just an intellectual knowledge that you know something, but it's that you know the truth from the Word of God and you apply the truth. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is beyond. There are a lot of intellectual people in the world today that we would consider very, very smart, very, very intelligent, that have no wisdom. And there are people in the world today that are very uneducated by the world's ways, and they don't know very much, but they have much wisdom because they know the Word of God and they obey the Word of God. Amen. That's what wisdom is. And Jesus was filled with wisdom. I want you to notice real quickly in Luke chapter 1 and verse 80, speaking of John the Baptist, it says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts." But of Jesus it says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom." Why is that? Well, my Bible says in Proverbs 22:15, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." You know what Jesus didn't have? He didn't have any foolishness at all. He was filled with wisdom from the time he was conceived in the womb. Foolishness is something that comes with the curse of sin. That's why we've got to beat it out of our children. Amen. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Pick some kids out to look at while I say this stuff. Spare not for their crying. They shall not die. That's a good one, isn't it? Especially some of you younger ones that you haven't really whooped your kids too much and you're scared. They start wailing. You think, "Oh, no, I'm going to kill them." No, you won't kill them. Amen. Whoop them. Amen. Don't beat them, but whoop them. There's a difference. If you don't know the difference, come see me. I'll show you. Amen. Jesus was filled with wisdom. Joseph never had to get on to Jesus. Mary never had to say to Jesus, "Son, don't do that." Never. Jesus never had a cross thought about his mother or father. I promise you this, he never, ever rolled his eyes at his mama or his daddy. You know why? Because all that stuff is foolishness. And Jesus didn't have any of that. See, he grew up in the flesh. He humbled himself. He had to learn to walk and to crawl and do all those things that he did. He had to go through puberty and all of the stuff that all of us have to go through. He was tempted in every way that any boy would ever be tempted. Jesus had to go through all of that. And never once did he sin. Never once did he have a wicked thought. Never once was there a foolish thing in his body. Never once. You see, though he came up in the flesh, he's still different. And though he was tempted, he never failed once. And he was filled with wisdom. And did you know that God desires for us to be filled with wisdom as well? In Colossians 1 and 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God." We can be filled with wisdom. And we're not born with wisdom. We're born with foolishness. And praise God for those of you that had parents that drove that foolishness out of you. But even if they didn't, you can still be filled with wisdom today when we pray and we study the Word of God and we stay faithful and we pursue Him and we strive to grow in His grace and knowledge. He was filled with wisdom. And I want you to notice the grace of God was upon him. I couldn't help but think of the parallel. We know that Joseph of the Old Testament, Joseph who was sold by his brethren into slavery, Joseph who ended up saving the whole known world at that time from a great famine, Joseph is a picture of Christ. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, "And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house." And that favor is that grace. Now listen, Joseph is a picture of Christ. He was a sinner like us, but God's favor, God's grace was on him. Now he's just a picture because the grace of God that was on Jesus is different. It's not the grace that God gives to us wicked sinners. It's a different kind of grace. God's favor was just on his life. Why? Because he was his son. And I got good news for you today. God's favor can be on your life. If we would learn to be obedient sons and daughters, God's favor and grace could be manifest, could be demonstrated, could be shown in our lives. This morning, we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. And while our musicians are coming, please consider that Jesus grew. Are you growing? Has there been any change in your life for the past year in your walk with Christ? The past year, the past decade, from the time you were saved till now, has there been growth? Do you have a desire to grow? We need some people in this church who want to grow and be like Jesus. Are we waxing strong in the spirit, or are we continually just feeding our flesh and our carnal nature? Are we being filled with wisdom? Are we still full of foolishness? Is the grace of God on our lives? Or are we living in such a way that God's grace can't be on us because we're not being faithful. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. When that church had unity, and that church had a heart for one another, and that church was boldly preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's grace was on them all. Friends, I desperately want God's grace to be on all of us. But that means all of us have to be submitted to His will. So if He's convicting your heart this morning, if there's a decision that you need to make for Christ, would you come while we stand and while we sing?
Page 521.
Number 521.